morning, church. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let us begin then by a word of prayer. Siyabiza Thixo, siyavuma ukuba uyinkosi. Siyavuma ukuba wena wehla ezulwini lakho waba ngumuntu ebantwini. Waphila emhlabeni impilo engcwele kuba thina siphile impilo engcwele. Wabulawa Nkosi ngenxa yezono zethu. Wabulawa yilabo Nkosi ozele ukubasindisa. Ube nathi besikhona lapho ngabe saliphosa litshe Nkosi emveni kwakho ngenxa yesono esibusa impilo zethu. Siyavuma Nkosi ekuseni uba wakho wavuka ngesuku lesithathu waphinde wanyukela ezulwini lakho namanje uhleli esandleni sokudla uNkulunkulu umusela thina abantu bakho. Uyintokozo Jehova uthola leli thuba ukuphakamisa amezwi, ukuphakamisa amaphimbo nenhliziyo zethu. Siziphakamisela kuwena Jehova ekuseni silidumisa igama lakho. Shangathi Nkosi yami ke ungakhuluma kithi namanje ekuseni. Shangathi Baba wathinta impilo yomuntu wakho ngezikakho. Usilungisise Jehova, usiqinise Baba, usilondoloze mihla namalanga. Sikucela konke lokhu egameni elinamandla leNkosi uJesu. It's a great joy for me to be here, President. I want us to turn together to Psalm 150. How do I know that I praise and worship the Lord in the way that He is ascribed to be worshipped? How do I know that I don't just come to have a moment or to join with the multitude worshipping God, but I am not worshipping the Lord? How do I know that what I do is really what the Lord has called us to do? Psalm 150, and it reads as following from the ESV. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with lyre and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The title of my message this morning, A Call to Praise the Lord. The two songs that we began with as we began to praise the Lord were about praising the Lord. And I'm happy. It is relevant to what I am here to bring before you. One of the greatest overview or impressions of Scripture is what is found, what you see in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms open up with God pronouncing blessings to those who no longer walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the ways of sinners, nor sit in the seat with scoffers, but to those who delight in the law of God. And in this book, it ends on a high note, if you will. It ends on a high note of praise. That is where we are this morning. A total praise. Now we see the blessed man of Psalm number 1 is now here pronouncing praises to God. In Psalm 1, God was pronouncing blessedness to a man. Now a man is pronouncing the blessings to God. What a great exchange, a real call to us as believers. In this psalm, there is a continuous use of that word, praise Him or praise the Lord. And that, friends, should make us feel then the weight of the subject of praise. That should tell us that God is worth of our praises. In this psalm, over and over, we are called to sing Him a song, to sing Him a great hallelujah song. We are called to come together to shine forth the glory of God throughout our existence here on earth, while we live on earth and live according to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to praise the Lord before we are taken up to glory, where we shall continue to sing praises unto Him. In this psalm is a perfect reminder that the chief end of man, it is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This morning, we are invited to a mountaintop, if you will. We are invited to the appropriate praise of our God. We are invited to what by nature is impossible to comprehend, to tap into the heavenly places, as it were. We are invited to a genuine praise that is not driven by personal needs. It is not driven by petition, but only driven by a focus to our God. Amen. The subject before us, friends, is about us honoring our God, the Creator. We are called here to honor Him, the one who has created us. We are here to honor Him with our actions and with our words. And we will see that as we go through. To honor Him with our actions and with our words. We are called to ascribe glory to our God, to attribute honor unto Him, to bring to Him, listen very carefully, acceptable worship. The first question before us, where must He be praised? Verse number one, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. What we see here, friends, is that everywhere there must be praise to God. There must be praise to God, the God of condescending kindness. There must be praise to our God of electing love. Everywhere. That is what the psalmist says. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Everywhere they should spring forth that great hallelujah song in heaven and on earth. We see a call here to the inhabitants of earth. Those who are true worshippers of God, they are called to join in with the worshippers of heaven for the glory of God. According to the psalmist, there should be nowhere where there is absolute silence of praise. But of course, it was the temple in Jerusalem which the Israelites viewed as a dwelling place of God, the sanctuary, the holy place of worship, where the godly inhabitants of the earth will unite in joyful adoration of God, spreading His praises throughout, bragging about God in a holy reverence, as it were, which is actually the ultimate goal of all Christianity. The ultimate goal of all Christianity, friends, is not to make earth a better place, or to make a sanctuary, a house of fun. But it is to have men everywhere lifting up their holy hands, as it were, unto our God. Amen. To sing Him praises, to worship Him. It is evident here in this psalm that total praise is not just a random exercise, my friends. It is not due to anyone or any idol. The psalmist says to us, praise who? Praise the Lord. He uses the word Lord. That word speaks of a covenant God, a relational God, an intimate God. So in His sanctuary, we come to experience the Lord who has chosen a relationship with us through His Son. The psalmist says, in His sanctuary, it is all about praising our God, not pleasing men. That is what should happen in His sanctuary.
It is not where we come to feel good about ourselves. We come here to be caught up as it were, to be caught up about the beauty and the holiness and the sovereignty and the supremacy of our God. We come here to forget ourselves. We come here to forget about our friends, but to have God in mind, to lift up our hearts unto Him without anger and without quarreling, rendering together our devotion to our God. This is where we come to experience a unison, divine connection with God. Together, connected to one Creator of heaven and earth. I think what is emphasized in this verse for us, friends, is that praise should primarily take place in a specific place that is dedicated to the praise of our God. That doesn't mean we cannot praise God anywhere, but in the psalm here says there has to be that place where we will come out of our different homes, different backgrounds, different histories, different cultures and language and tongues, and come together to worship our God. There has to be a dedicated place. Is this the place? There has to be that place. And today, we can call that a church. Some are in a tent. We can call that a tent of worship, a place where people come to have a commitment, to commit themselves to worship God. Remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 122, verse 1? If you write it down, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. There has to be that sense of excitement, friends, when we think of our gathering together for that sole purpose of worshiping the Lord, the living God. Waking up in the morning should not be a problem. Committing ourselves in serving Him and serving one another should never be a problem if we are consumed by the worship of God in our lives. Amen. I want you to notice, friends, the psalmist is specific and deliberate in using his words here. He says, God's sanctuary is a place of worship. Nothing else but a place of worship. It is not where we come to get rid of depression. That is not why we come to church, to get rid of depression, but to worship God regardless of our depression and regardless of our needs. To sing Him a new song simply because of who He is, what He has done. He is Lord according to this psalmist, and we know Him as Lord. Amen. In His sanctuary is not where we come to buy Him favor through our religious acts, or to come to entice Him, as it were, so that we may bend His hand towards our will, but so that He may be God. The next one is, but why? Why are we to praise the Lord? We were singing songs here, all songs like, some I don't understand the language at times, but I know what it means. We praise the Lord. Praises befits something like that, right?
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
But why? But why? You see, I can get this. But why? Why are we to praise our God? Look at verse number 2. In verse number 2, the psalmist says, praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. You see, friends, the less you know about God, the less you will be able to praise the Lord. There has to be a reason why our spirit and our soul has to praise the Lord. We cannot just jump around without a reason, because anybody else can jump around without a reason. Yesterday there was a soccer that played. I didn't watch. I don't know the score, but I can predict that Kenya Chiefs won. But people were jumping around.
Amen.
There has to be a genuine spiritual reason, godly, divine reason why we praise our God. The psalmist says we praise Him for His creating power. That is the excellent greatness of God. He's the God who created all things. We praise Him for His excellent greatness. He brought all things into being to the praise of His glorious grace. We praise Him for His providence, because He takes good care of us. In Him we move, we live, and we have our being. We praise Him for His mighty deeds. What are these mighty deeds? There is so much that we can say from this verse. Actually, I can have a sermon on this verse, but I will not this morning. What are these mighty deeds? The Lord has delivered us from sin. Sin which shouted aloud, calling out to the wrath of God to come upon us. But in that moment, the Lord Jesus Christ came down to earth and took that punishment that was going to come upon us and put it upon Himself. He bought us with a price. He set us free. He gave Himself for us. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, while we were still weak, He came and gave His life for us. And through that gracious, vicarious atonement of the cross, we stand here redeemed, having a privilege to be called children of God. Remember, the Bible says formerly we were children of wrath. We were on a path to ruins. Our end was death. But He came and laid the cross, as it were, between death and life, so that we, those who believe, may walk not by themselves, but with Him, side by side, to the eternal life. He snatched us from that garbage of sin to His marvelous light. He bought us from that slave market of sin, where sin was our master. Now we have a new master in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we praise Him. So in this sanctuary, let us not forget the work of the cross. The work of the cross should govern our minds. It should govern our reason and our purpose of life. So that in everything that we do, it will flow from us, from our heart, for the whole week, the works of the cross. So that others may see our lives and glorify the God who is in heaven. Friends, we praise Him for His goodness. We praise Him for His mercy. We praise Him for gathering His people even this morning, bringing them together to the praise of His glory. Because if it was not Him who has brought us here, we wouldn't be here. We praise Him for His mighty power, pulling us from every direction of life, men, women, and children, coming together for the praise of our God. We praise Him for He is full of glory. He is merciful and faithful. He keeps His promise. He gives us our daily bread, as our brother was reading here. He does give us that daily bread if we ask from Him. And that daily bread, my friend, let me just give you a little bit of it. It is our daily need. What we need for today, He gives us today. But also that daily bread, friends, as you read in your scripture in that Matthew chapter number 6, it tells us that it is also the forgiveness of sin. We need the forgiveness of sin on daily basis. It is also a protection and against future temptations. He says, deliver us from evil. Friends, God has established His sanctuary through His Son. And His sanctuary is everywhere. This is His sanctuary. We praise Him for that. Remember what He said to the woman at the well. As He meets this woman at the well in Samaria, He said to the woman in John chapter 4 verse 21, the Bible says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe in Me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." What does this tell us, friends? We praise the Lord because of Christ. We no longer need to go to a certain place that was the only place out there in Jerusalem, the temple. But now His temple is everywhere. We are able to draw near to Him on daily basis. And friends, let me give you this one. If this is His sanctuary, then it must be kept holy, my friends. If this is His sanctuary, if this place has to turn sinners into saints, then you must be worshippers who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, having the meditation of your heart consumed by the knowledge of God, having your heart stirred up and your tongue like a pen of a ready writer, ready to ascribe glory to God for His salvation, which is freely given unto you. The psalmist didn't know what we know today. The psalmist would have referred to deliverance from Egypt, but we have a new and a better deliverance. Deliverance from the market slave of sin unto the marvelous light of God. Deliverance from all our past wickedness, that we may walk in the light of God. We praise Him to be called saints while we still possess a sinful body, that one day will be changed to a glorious body that will sin no more, that one day we will praise Him without a sinning heart. We praise Him. The question that remains then after that, how are we to praise? Are we to praise God? How are we to praise the Lord? Church, God must be praised joyfully and intentionally. You will see that in our verse. Joyfully and intentionally. Verse 3 to 5. Praise Him with trumpet sounds. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. And you know, friends, that we are taught well. We praise the Lord. We worship Him through the reading of His word, through the preaching of His word, through our offerings unto Him, as we were doing this morning. But the psalmist is specific here. He is speaking of musical instruments. He has counted all of them. That is what he knew at the time. As you can see, there is no piano here, so I don't know why you guys have a piano. But anyway, yes, we know that it is all these things. Praise Him with musical instruments. Not, friends, because musical instruments is primarily what brings the worship. I think we need to understand that one as well. Musical instrument does not bring the worship, or it does not make the worship, but it is a picture of a joyful and intentional praise to our God. I want you to notice a few things here. Musical instrument does not define worship. Musical instrument has to be an add-on. You're adding on to the fire that is already existing within your heart. Musical instruments is not supposed to bring us joy, but to help us express our joy that is inward, bringing it outwardly. You don't wait for a musical instrument to start before you worship the Lord. It has to be something that is burning already from within your heart. Another thing that you must notice is that the mention of musical instrument calls us to be intentional in our worship. Let me say what I mean by that is to plan ahead. When we worship God, we must plan ahead. We must prepare ourselves. Those who play the music need to prepare themselves in practice, but not just in practice. This speaks of the prepared heart. The heart must be prepared to worship God. There must be prayer that comes together with the singing, because singing without prayer, singing without true doctrine, is just an empty shell that makes people excited but lead them nowhere. There must be an intentional purpose, planning ahead, preparing ourselves. We must be organized. We have to be organized. We are worshiping who? Jehovah, God. We must be organized in what we are doing. But it is also a picture of unity. Look at it. It's a picture of unity. Think of the musical chords that they play from here, there, and there, coming in such a harmony that bring this beautiful music. But this is not about them at the moment. It's about us united in worship like the music chords, praising the God of heaven with one mind and one heart, united. That is the picture that we see here. It also tells us that we must be skillful. Did you see the bass player? You must be skillful in praising your God. And you who are praising God with voices, what skill can you have? You must have the true doctrine of Scripture, not just shouting sounds and words that means nothing. You must know what you are saying. Is it in the Bible? Play skillfully. Know what you are doing and unto whom are you doing that. Our whole attention and dedication of the heart should be centered to one glorious exercise, which is to praise the Lord together. Another thing that I want you to notice, the mention of different music instruments here reveals not just our unity, but unity in diversity. Because sometimes we must not forget that we are different people, different gifts, different backgrounds, but in Christ we are united. Doesn't matter where you come from, you are united. That is why we as Christians do not believe in xenophobia or the xenophobic attacks, because we are united in Christ, especially those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not be a racial-minded people. Doesn't mean that we are not sensitive to those things at times, but we will not divide ourselves and call this church a sort of church or a, I don't know what other language we have here.
Yeah.
But my point is, there has to be unity in diversity. But that also brings us to our own giftings. The gift comes from God. The singer and the player must be united. But also, the pews must be united to what is happening. Friends, as the worship team, since we're calling them that, but Christ actually is the worship leader. But as the worship team sings for us, we must be united with them. We are not here to look and appreciate what they are doing. We sing together to the praise of our God. We make a joyful noise to the Lord, not confusion and chaos. We are here to make a joyful noise to the Lord. A joyful noise to the Lord is a noise that can be qualified by Scripture. So friends, if we have to praise God faithfully, definitely our praise and our worship should reflect what is written in His Word. We must sing theology, as I was saying. We must not just sing because we are here to sing. The psalmist says we must make the use of this instrument to the glory of God, but we must be willing, in other words, to offer ourselves and offer our time and be willing to be corrected and be willing to learn from one another as we praise God together. Church, let me just say, there are those who are saying that the use of instruments is for charismatics. I don't know if you know those guys who are called charismatics. I don't know if you're one of them, but I don't think so. There are those who think that musical instruments is for charismatics. Church, that is not true. the use of instrument is old. It was common practice in the times of the Old Testament. During David's time, before David's time, the use of instrument was the use to glorify, was only for glorifying our God. David himself, as a shepherd, he played the lyre. Some they say he played a harp. But there was a use of musical instrument. And like I say, friends, instrument should never start the worship. But it is the heart full of praise and worship that should ignite the soul to bring out from the soul a song. Listen to Psalm 98 verse 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. But here is a caution, friends. Here is what we need to be aware of. Listen to what God says to those who think it is all about making a joyful noise. Because it is possible that we come together and we think it is only about making a joyful noise. Listen to what the Lord says. It is not about making a joyful noise while living without holiness. Listen to Amos chapter 5 verse 22. Here we want you to see that it is not about a joyful noise. It is not about living like demons coming here to sing like angels. Listen to Amos 5 verse 22. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offering of your fattest animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your song. To the melodies of your harp, I will not listen. Take it away. What's the use of bringing me this joyful noise if you are living in sin? That was the problem there. And what is the Apostle Paul saying in Romans 12, verse number 1? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of our God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. And friends, musical instrument is very important. But the hands that plays the instrument should be holy hands. And the voice which brings forth this song unto us should be a voice coming from a clean heart. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
In verse number 4, the psalmist speaks of dancing. The psalmist speaks of dancing. The psalmist expressed the fact that we are emotional people. We are emotional people, friends. Dancing here refers to a biblical gladness of the heart becoming evident on the outside, glorifying our God in a dance. So we should not worry about being emotional. God created us with emotions, but emotions should not overpower us. It is not sin to be emotional, but emotions can lead you to sin. So our emotions in worship should be a response to God's truth. What am I excited about? Am I excited about the revealed truth of Scripture? As we were singing here, revealed truth of Scripture. Uyahalalela. Indeed, He is. Our emotions, friends, should be a passionate and a sincere adoration of a pure heart based on the truth of God revealed from His Word. The bottom line here, friends, is that God must be praised joyfully and intentionally. The only thing that we should worry about is emotionalism. Not emotions, emotionalism. Emotionalism is the reaction that is based on human sentiments or human feelings. Something that is devoid from the true worship of God. Something that helps you to hold on to something that is not real, sustained by Scripture. We should worry about the manipulations of our faculties. That is a deliberate attempt to arouse inward spiritual confusion. We must worry about that. If something I'm doing arouse spiritual confusion, I must worry about not my emotions, emotionalism. The act whereby people try to entice one another and call that the worship of God. So So friend, we must be guided by the scripture, not our feelings. Because friends, being emotional is not a proof that you are worshipping God. We all know, most of us here in our country, when we sing our national anthem, we become emotional. Why? It reminds me of the past experience that I went through under the hand of oppression. I have to be emotional. But that, does it that mean now I'm worshipping? No. I remember singing a song back in the day. It's from the group called Soul Brothers. Mama Wang Laya, Shukwari no Baba, Nyakumbula, Mama Wang. It's a very sad song because I went through that. So when I sing that song, I become emotional. Because it speaks of my experience. I saw Zahara, one of the singers, being stirred up emotionally when she was singing her song, Umthwalo Wami Uyangisinda. She was emotional. Ngikhathele, ngiphathise. I pray she would say, Ngikhathele, ngiphathele. That would be much better. But emotions, friends, is no proof that we are worshipping our God. In many different occasions, people become emotional. Even yesterday, as Kaiser Chiefs did what they always do, there was emotion. Emotions, friends. Why? Because what is happening is stirring up something that I can relate with on a personal level. So friends, our emotions must be guided by scripture. We don't need chaos in the church and call it African. But also, we don't need this theology that is out there that we must be lifeless so that we call ourselves Biblical Reformed Church. We must be lifeless, stand like statues, like tombstones. No, friends, we are Africans for goodness sake. But when I use that word, we are African, I'm not qualifying what is happening out there. We are qualifying the fact that we must not stand still when the word of God says, praise the Lord with trembling and dance. You must move, my friend. You must clap hands to your God. You must shout hallelujah, amen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to our God. Amen. And you shout your amen and hallelujah. But remember, we don't just shout hallelujah even when a cat falls from a tree. You have those people. Amen. Praise the Lord. They stole my phone. Praise God. That word praise. Friends, I'm being serious. That word praise has just become just a word. We need to understand. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So we need to be reminded, friends, that the primary purpose of our worship and our praise and involvement of this musical instrument is to glorify our God. The last question. Who is to worship? We have seen where. We have seen who are we to worship. We have seen how. Now, who is to worship? Verse number 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The psalmist says here, friends, all living creatures must submit themselves to God in worship. The idea here, my friend, is that we must praise God for as long as we have breath in our lungs. Our life and our praise must be something that is always united, inseparable. One thing, once our life and our praise is united, what will come forth from us on daily living will be the glory of God. The praise of His glorious grace. It will change the way we live with those around us. It will change the way we look at those who offend us from time to time. We will remember that Christ was offended, yet He did not retaliate. The mentioning of the word everything there in this verse, it shines forth the greatness of our God. Please listen very carefully. It shines forth the greatness of our God. It shines forth His uniqueness from all other gods. I know there is no other God, but there are people who worship other things and call them gods. Why does this, why do I say this, shines forth the greatness of God and the uniqueness of God? The whole created order is created to the praise of our God. There is no way the sun, the moon will praise men. The sun and the moon will not bow down to men. Birds will not sing to men. But our God. Psalm 19, verse 1 to 2. The heavens declares the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim his handiwork. Day by day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Friends, we need to be asking ourselves then, how great is our God? Our God is strong as an iron, but tender as a shepherd, my friends. Name above all names, worthy of our praise. So friends, if everything that is prayed will praise the Lord and you are not able to praise the Lord, let me tell you, the birds of the sky will outpraise you. They will outpraise you. God will still get his praise. The ends of the ground will outwork you. If you don't want to come and work and serve the Lord, he will be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Psalm 148, verse 3 to 4. Praise him, sun, moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heaven, and you waters above heavens. Psalm 68, verse 32. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to our Lord. O church, no one is exempt from praising God. No one is exempt from praising God in song. Even if you have a voice like mine, a voice like a rooster in winter, you must still praise the Lord.
Amen.
You guys are not well taught. You don't laugh to a pastor unless the pastor is laughing to himself. But we are called to praise the Lord, not to be spectators, to praise God. That is what he's saying here. So therefore, during praise and worship, friends, take this with you. God is the audience. God is the audience. He's the consumer of our praise and worship. We are just participants. But it's just unfortunate that in this culture we live in, things have been turned upside down. The people are now spectators and looking at the worshiping team performing for them and everybody becoming happy. No, friends. We are not the consumers. God is the consumer, the spectator. He's the one who sits there, as it were, I'm using figurative language now, and says, here are my children worshipping me. To worship him together. Not to entertain one another. But to edify the soul. Colossians 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart. But let the word of Christ, our songs and our singing, must be surrounded and wrapped around by the word of Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 19, the Apostle Paul says there, we are to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies to who? To the Lord with our hearts. Although we are doing it together, some people might think we are entertaining one another, but the apostle says we are singing to the Lord. So you need to be involved in singing to the Lord. Amen. But maybe you sing nice. Maybe you sing a right song, a biblical song. Maybe you play the right key. Maybe you play the right notes, as it were. Here's the question. Do you possess the right heart? Do you even believe what you are singing, my friends? Because there are many of those who have breath out there who sing things they don't believe. They love the gospel music, but they don't love the gospel itself. They have not believed on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They live like demons, but claiming to bind demons. Do you believe what you are singing, my friend? Has the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ transformed your life? Have you believed in that message of the cross so that what you sing may be exactly what it is in your heart? So the psalmist says, let every voice fulfill its highest function, which is to praise its creator from whom it derives its origins or its breath. And friends, if we will keep up with the truth, one day we shall see the whole creation permeated in the praise of God where we are going, in that new land, in that glorious, glorious place. Therefore, those who are created anew, those who have the life of Christ within them, those who have the breath of life within them, they should never cease to praise God until that glorious day. But let me warn you. Here's a warning again. When it says that everything that has breath praise the Lord, it doesn't mean that one day anybody can just wake up. It doesn't mean that every living being could just wake up in the morning and bring acceptable praises to God. It is a bridge that each and every man, woman, and child must cross. And Jesus says, no one comes to the Father unless by me. That is the bridge, my friend. Have you crossed that? Have you come to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I know it is popular these days that in the Reformed churches, we assume that everybody is saved. But my job, my friend, is to call every soul, woman and child, man, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? When the bridegroom comes, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Therefore, those who can come to praise our God are those who have drawn near. I said who? Those who have drawn near to the cross to find grace and to find mercy. Because the question of who is very important. Who is to praise God? Because in our day, what is more important is the how. Everybody wants to know the how. We want to do some stuff and we get things wrong at times. But who is very important? Who is to praise the Lord? It says here, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. But as we bring this to the context of our humanity, we all owe our allegiance to God. He's the one who's created us and gave us the breath that we breathe. Are you praising God? I'm going to conclude. Friends, honor God in His sanctuary. Bring Him praise, total praise in His sanctuary. Praise Him for His greatness. Praise Him for His glorious grace and salvation. Praise Him with a song. Praise Him with instrument and that God-honoring dance. Do not shy, but don't roll around like a peacock. But praise the Lord with a dance. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord for His faithfulness, for His loving kindness, for His goodness, for His truth. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, because it was on that cross where the sinless Lamb of God became a substitute for me and you, so that we may not be condemned forever. It was on that cross. May you never look down to the praise of God. The importance of public worship. Do not look down on that. Do not look down at coming together to worship God in His sanctuary. Because coming to worship God in His sanctuary is something that should be your delight, my friends. Remember, there is nothing wrong in using musical instruments. But don't misuse them. How do we misuse them? By shouting aloud a joyful noise while we are still living in sin. That is to misuse what we are doing. I know you thought I would say don't play them higher and higher. No, that's not a misuse. No, the misuse is that you are just a shell that is empty. But you want to praise the Lord with words. When your heart is far from God. There is nothing wrong, friends, in being joyful when worshiping God. But always remember, God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Scripture must qualify your worship, not your natural instinct, but Scripture. To be African doesn't mean to worship God chaotically, but also to be biblical doesn't mean to worship God like a statue or like a dead man. You need to have life in you, my friends. You need to move. You need to clap those hands. You need to open that voice and shout aloud, glory to Jesus. I pray that this sanctuary will continue to be God's house of worship. God's house of authentic Christian worship. I pray also that you, friends, may continue to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and blameless, because that is your spiritual worship. I also pray that if we are here and we have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, may this message be a reminder to you that actually your future depends on the object of worship right now. Who is it that you are worshiping? Are you worshiping God? Believe in Him. Turn from your wicked ways. Come to Him and praise Him with a song. Repent in faith. Look unto Jesus so that you may sing. The last verse, verse 6, ends with the words, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us be encouraged to come to a place that is the way, and to know the reason, to know the who are we praising and who are we who are praising Him. May we submit ourselves to the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we may praise Him day by day and live according to His will. So that even when we sin, because we are a sinful people, but we will remember that there is a God who deserves our praise. And if He deserves my praise, I will not praise Him with a sinning heart. I will not praise Him with an unforgiving heart. I will forgive and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank You even this morning. Thank You for Your word. Encourage us. Correct us. Rebuke us. Help us to love one another. To forgive one another so that our worship would be pure and blameless to You. Help us not to be spectators, but to sing with the worshiping team as they lead us into Your presence. Because, Lord, we know that ultimately You are the major chord of the instrument. We are the minors. Help us, O God, to understand it, that You are the worship leader. May we worship You in song, in a musical instrument, throughout our lives with lives that are blameless. May we worship You, O God, but may we also remember that everything that has breath has to praise the Lord. In that, O God, put in us that desire to evangelize the lost, that one day we may shout together the praises and the glory of God. May the church of God say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read you a benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of eternal covenant, may He equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.